Good morning. I don't know where we're getting those squeals from out here, but they're sure is squeaking at us. In any event, let's get on with the show. Good morning, and this is Roy Lowy, and welcome to Talking Travel on the Travel Talk Radio Network. And today my guests are Mr. Evan Eggers, president of O2Cruise.com, the Internet's cruise superstore, and he'll have the latest on the cruise scene. Ed Straney, manager of the Lighthouse Resort on Sanibel Island, with an update on Hurricane Wilma. And Métis Rodriguez, a publisher of Baja Travel magazine, and travel journalist Karen Hamlin on her trip to Jordan. And, of course, Johnny Judd is just back from Japan, and he's going to report on that. We have Evan Eggers on the phone, president of O2Cruise.com, your online cruise superstore. So good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
Sorry about those squeeches out there. I don't know where they were coming from. The guys in the operating room out there must be not paying too much attention. Wake
them
up.
Probably if it's water in the circuits, Roy. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah,
from Wilma.
Yeah, Wilma's left. Wilma's left a lot of. You know what happened? The most amazing thing is our ocean disappeared. It was like everybody was worried about a tsunami because all of a sudden there was you could walk out a quarter of a mile.
Okay, I could that had me nervous.
We could almost walk from here to Longboat Key. And, I mean, it was just amazing. And I said to one of my neighbors, I said, you know, I hope that tide comes in fairly soon. They're going to be building condos out here.
I'm surprised the land speculators weren't out there already. That's true.
Exactly. They probably were looking it over from somewhere. Now, tell us what is happening with all the storms. What's happening on the cruise scene?
Well, with Wilma, you know, I'm bored to tears of talking about hurricanes. What a season this has been. And, of course, I'm sure everybody's aware that the National Hurricane Center ran out of names for hurricanes, and they've gone to Alpha, so forth and so on.
Which kind of got into the Dominican Republic area, but I guess it didn't do too much damage.
Yeah, thank goodness. But so Wilma, of course, our W hurricane of the year, was a real surprise to the heavyweight cruise area, Fort Lauderdale and Miami, Port Everglades and Port of Miami, where more than a third of U.S. cruise passengers leave from. And, Wilma was not really expected to do that much damage in the area because it was, of course, coming across Florida from the Gulf. But Fort Lauderdale and Miami were on the so-called dirty side of the hurricane where the winds turned out to be quite bad.
Really?
As a result, both ports were closed. Port of Miami should be opening today. Port Everglades is still closed. And they haven't announced when it'll open yet. And the Fort Lauderdale International Airport is still closed, for that matter. To general aviation, to commercial traffic as of today.
Right.
So, you know, there have been a lot of people. It makes no sense to list all the cruise ships because pretty much every cruise coming into or out of Fort Lauderdale or Miami has been affected. But basically people have gotten an extra day or two on their cruise ships, or people who are supposed to sail out are going to be given the option of, you know, a percentage off of their cruise and onboard credit, or, of course, they can cancel. It's how that's working. And then down in Cozumel, which, of course, is a very popular cruise destination, reports have their docks as somewhere between severely damaged and destroyed. And, Carnival owns one of the docks down there. They haven't fully scoped it out yet, so it's not clear what's going to happen with Cozumel's port of call situation.
Yeah, no, they have it. There's another, there's a new port just south of Cancun in the Cuto Rey. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that's where they got the bulk of the storm, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so the reports coming out of that whole area are still scattered, and we'll see how that plays out. And hopefully they'll be able to pick up the pieces pretty rapidly.
Right. Sometimes Cozumel is protected by Isla Mujeres, which is a small island off the coast. But it all depends on what directions the winds were coming from.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then meanwhile, Royal Caribbean, the Enchantment of the Seas, this hasn't really been covered in the news, but Royal Caribbean decided to cancel one of the sailings of Enchantment of the Seas so that ship could go and contribute to the relief effort in Mexico, ferrying supplies to and fro. So that's a good thing.
You know, that was interesting that they're doing that.
Yeah, good for them is what I say. And they'll be helping out. It was a 5-night sailing, I believe, that was canceled, and the October 29th is the next sailing, and it will be going. But in the meantime, the ship is making itself useful, ferrying relief supplies, which is great. Obviously, very needed for anybody who's been watching the news.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
what else is happening out there other than the hurricane?
Well, the tail end of the hurricane, of course, we have the New Orleans news is trickling in terms of when cruise lines are going back there. You know, we'd already heard that Royal Caribbean was going back in December of 06 with the Grandeur of the Seas to sail out of New Orleans, which is when the ship usually comes back there. Same thing with Norwegian Sun. And the piece of good news that came out this week was Carnival's Conquest, which sails year-round from New Orleans, maybe back as early as spring 2006. So, you know,
oh, that's good news, yeah.
Yeah, to have a ship back there sooner rather than later. That'll be nice.
Well, let's just hope that we get through this hurricane season. And next week we'll have some good things to report that are happening out there. I noticed that HAL's new online cinema. I can't talk this morning. You know, it's cold here. It was 55 degrees this morning. That's pretty cold.
Oh, I don't want to hear your whining. We saw snow up here in New Hampshire. Enough from you on the cold.
Well, anyway, they're going to bring their cinema product to life better, they say. So that'll be interesting. I don't know how much better you can make it, but...
Yeah, well, it's pretty neat. So, you know, one of the challenges with the cruise industry is having people really understand what it's about for the 85% of Americans who haven't tried a cruise. And so
right. The
cruise lines have been very slow in you know, using the web innovatively to bring the experience to life. So Holland America now has got, you know, on their website, you can just go on their homepage right now, you'll see a cinema option there. And it actually has, you know, live videos, not live videos, but rather, you know, pre-recorded videos that you can watch immediately of lots of their ships. The dining experience is what goes on board. To help people understand better and really get a feel for it and understand what, you know, cruising today is all about.
Well, that's always helpful. And, Evan, we've got to go to break, and I thank you once again, and we look forward to chatting with you next week.
Very good. Have a great show, Roy.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're back, and we're going to be joined by Mr. Ed Straney, who is the manager of a resort on Sanibel Island, the Lighthouse Resort, and he's going to give us an update on what's happening out there with Sanibel after the hurricane. Good morning, Ed.
Well, good morning, Roy. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Thank you for the opportunity of sharing our view of Sanibel with your vast radio audience.
Well, you know, everybody's interested, of course. Sanibel's taken such a beating in the last hurricane. Just give us a little update. I understand that power has been restored at this point. Is that correct?
Yes. We have power on the island. It came back on yesterday about 2:30 in the afternoon. And the residents that were evacuated that have multiple weeks here are starting to filter back in again.
So you actually evacuated the people that were staying there. I mean, did you actually do an evacuation, or did you just give notice to leave, and then they just...
No, the Sanibel itself, the city issued a mandatory evacuation.
Right.
By noon Saturday, everybody had to be off the island.
And they
do that because of the problems that might be caused by the bridge.
Right, exactly.
And with the high winds, they can't get emergency services over here onto the island.
Now, did you find there was there were more problems on one side of the island than the other, i.e. the bay side and the gulf side?
Yeah, the gulf side did fairly well this time because the stronger winds, the winds were a little weaker as it came through from the south side. But when the eye passed by south of us there, the wind started switching, coming from the north. And about Oh, it was between 4 and 7 o'clock in the morning. We had wind gusts of over 100 miles an hour with sustained winds into the 75 miles an hour.
That's pretty heavy
and,
duty.
That was basically on the bay side, which is the, facing more or less north.
Right.
And that's where we had most of the damage. I lost about 30% of my shingles on my roof, but the tar paper underneath it, the felt, stayed. So we didn't have any penetration of any water or anything into the units.
Yeah, well, that's certainly good news. Now, what about damage in general on the island? Is it fairly bad, a flooding? Or?
The causeway took a loss to, I think it was 12 to 15 more of those Australian pines. They got blown over, you know, when that gust was coming
right
through. But the rest of the island looks pretty good to me. You know, nothing like Charlie. Charlie devastated this whole place.
So it looks like
we couldn't get on the roads. We were 17 days without electricity after Charlie.
Right.
And right now, you know, everybody's back on the island. They don't have any police at the toll booth stopping people. Anybody can come over. So it's on a scale of 1 to 10. Charlie was a 10. This was a 2.
Well, that's good news because I mean, on Captiva, I don't even know if the South Sea Plantation has even opened up yet, have they?
No, they're still closed.
And I think they're going to come back with a new name, in fact, when they open.
Yeah, they. I don't know what they're doing up there, but they were supposedly going to be open by Christmas
right
this year.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, a year and a half.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot.
I don't see that happening either.
Now, but so other than losing some power and some peripheral damage, and not serious damage, fortunately, it looks like once they get things just cleaned up and the debris and trees and limbs, the usual stuff out of the streets, you guys are going to be up and going as usual, huh?
Yes.
That's good news. Are you actually open, Ed?
Yes, we opened up yesterday afternoon. As soon as the electricity came on, and they lifted that mandatory hurricane pass, only allowed back on the island. We still got a lot of damage, you know, with shingles and stuff like that.
Right.
I just finished cleaning up the pool and super chlorinating that. So we're going to get the pool chairs out there so people can start using that effective tomorrow. But, yeah, they all came back, and even some of the ones that were scheduled to come in, since we're a timeshare on last Saturday, they showed up.
Right.
And, I'm checking everybody in.
Well, that's good news. What about the beaches? The beaches okay?
Beaches are beautiful.
Yeah.
I never seen such shelling. Even before the hurricane, before we evacuated on Friday and Saturday, some of my owners were over there at the beach, and they come back with phenomenal shells, you know, and it's such stuff we haven't seen in a long time.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we had a strange phenomenon up in this area. Of course, we didn't get the winds and the rain the way you did, although, you know, it was pretty nasty. The water receded in the bay and also in on the Gulf side. I mean, you could walk out a quarter of a mile. You could almost walk from where I am across to Longboat Key. It was almost as it was that sort of phenomena that you see before the tsunami, and I just couldn't believe it. It probably went out a quarter of a mile and stayed out there at least for a day. It's only beginning to come back now.
Well, we had that same situation in 1960 when Donna took a direct hit on the Fort Myers, Sanibel, Cape Coral area. And it came in the opposite direction, and it just emptied out the river.
Yeah.
There was fish flopping in the river. You know,
right.
You're looking for all the stuff that you lost off your boat and say, there's my anchor.
It is kind of strange. Ed, we got to run. We got to go to break. I really thank you on the update. And for our audience, Sanibel's open for business. And if you're heading down there, I would suggest you call your resort. But get on down and enjoy the weekend.
Well,
Ed, take care.
Thank you for the opportunity again.
A pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. Bye-bye. Well, that was Ed Straney, manager of the Lighthouse Resort on Sanibel. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Métis Rodriguez, a publisher of Baja Travel Magazine, is going to be with us. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
We're trying to get a hold of Métis Rodriguez, who on the phone, we're having a little difficulty getting through. But Métis is the editor and CEO of a terrific publication. And what we're going to do is we're just going to quickly go to break again, and we'll be back with her. So bear with us. Thank you.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a seven-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah, we're back, and we're joined by a very interesting lady who is the editor and CEO of a terrific publication that I hadn't seen before, but interestingly enough, it arrived via the Baja Express this morning, and her name is Métis Rodriguez. Do you pronounce it Métis, or do you is that
Maite?
Maite, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes the pronunciations in, of a name that's spelled similar is sometimes different. But Maite, thank you for joining us. And before we get into the latest happenings in Baja, let's chat a bit about your publication, if you will.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us, first of all, the name of the publication is Baja Traveler Magazine.
Yes.
And it has a picture of a very handsome gentleman. Tell us a little bit about that for openers.
Well, he's Luis Miguel, which is one of Mexico's most famous singers. And we were quite honored to be able to put him on the cover. He's not very accessible to the media, but through a mutual friend, we were able to grant an interview, and that went quite well.
And, I mean, he's just the heartthrob of half of Mexico, I know. Well, not just Mexico.
Latin America.
The whole Latin America, exactly. He's and a great singer. Now, How long have you been doing this publication, just for
my... 8 years now.
8 years.
Yes.
And it's a very, very nice, glossy magazine. So the thing is that, as you know, I've spent a lot of time in Baja, but long before all of this beautiful things like this magazine was available in those days, I think the person's name was Johnson. He put out a two-sheet Baja letter about once a month, which was the only communication, really, of about what was happening in the Baja. But this is quite impressive. Now, the one thing that I see, I've spent a lot of time in Loreto, and Loreto was very primitive in the days that I was flying in there. And when I see what's happening, and that it was voted the destination, was it of 2005, I think?
Right.
It's just incredible. Now, tell us some of the things that are happening down there, if you will.
Lots of things are happening, and the beauty of it all is that it's still retaining its beauty, its natural beauty. It's really booming. Loreto Bay has gone in there, and they're really going to transform practically Nopolo, which is the area where Fonatur owns that area.
Right.
Where the Presidente used to be back then, probably, when you went.
Yeah, what's there now?
Well, that's a new hotel now. It's called the Whales Inn.
Right.
And Fonatur built another hotel, which Camino Real is running as we speak. And all that little area was purchased by Loreto Bay, and they're going to build a village, which looks pretty promising, and it looks beautiful.
So, sort of a typical village, or?
Typical Mexican village, but with everything. They're doing studies for everything to make sure that they don't harm nothing that's there.
The natural environment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that they've been very, as we call, ecotourism-wise in Baja, have they not?
Yes, they have.
Because
I've been there several occasions where I've had the pleasure of meeting specialists that they bring throughout the world for various subjects.
Yeah, because it I mean, the races, of course, of what really, I think, made Baja famous in the eyes of most people, you know, with those off-road races that they've had for years.
Right.
And then, of course, the way Cabo, as I understand it, got started was Bing Crosby and his friends started that hotel. I don't know if it was the Finisterre or one of the others. And the Hollywood crowd started going
right
down there because it was a real great getaway, and they had
they
had their own planes, and
yes.
And then little by little it began to build.
Right.
And that, to a point, I mean, I haven't seen the new Cabo. Well, to me it was just Cabo now. There's San Jose del Cabo and Cabo San Lucas. To me, that was all just one place, but separated by another hotel or another road or something. I'm not quite sure what you know what's all there now. But except that a friend of mine was involved with the Ritz-Carlton. I don't. Is that still on? Or?
No. That project's been complete. I mean, it's been. It's not taking place anymore.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because.
Yeah.
They were really looking forward to that.
Yes.
So let's talk about, unless you have something particularly that you'd like to discuss, just kind of walk us down the coast a little bit. I mean, the places that I'm familiar with, and of course, Mulegé, Loreto, and as you go down the coast, give us a little idea of the properties that are that exist down there now.
Well, you know, a lot of the land south of Loreto has been purchased. Nothing's been built yet, but soon it will be because big investors have purchased that land. And that's immediately right after, like, about a half an hour south of Loreto.
Right.
And driving down the coast, I'm sure you recall the views that you get on that coast are just really breathtaking.
Yeah, they really are.
They really are. So right now, if you were to drive there, you don't see much other than those views, of course. But, I mean, as far as construction, after Loreto until you get to the town called Constitucion. And that's not, nothing's been done there much. It's
right.
Pretty much the way it was back then.
Nice spot, though.
Yes. And then you get to La Paz, which there's a lot of construction in La Paz as well. We have a new development called Costa Baja,
right,
which has built a beautiful marina, and Fiesta Inn came in with a hotel there.
Right.
And lots of real estate developments. Isla Mogote is being developed for a beautiful real estate empire that they're going to build there. There's a lot going on in the East Cape as well. Then Todos Santos there's also a lot of construction going on there.
How amazing.
And in Cabo, of course. And then one thing when you mentioned about one of the first hotels, what I find really interesting is that Palmilla was built by one of our president's sons back then.
That's right.
President Rodriguez.
Right.
And he used to have his own helicopter. So what he would do is he would bring people from San Diego in his own private plane
right.
to the Palmilla, which recently, a few years ago, was renovated. $90 million were put into it. And that's where John Travolta had his 50th birthday party in order to celebrate Palmilla's 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that's terrific. I saw that in your magazine.
Yes, yeah. It's amazing.
And John, did you get to meet John? Because he's such an easygoing guy.
I've met him in the past. I met him once in Coronado here
right.
in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, actually, the press was invited to cover the event a day before the party.
Right.
And we were all there when they were all starting to arrive.
Yeah, and he has a place over by me here, and he's just such an easygoing guy, just
yeah.
exactly as he looks on the screen, except when he's, you know, getting into some of those hardcore roles. But basically, he's just a really easygoing, just a nice guy.
Yes,
just
yes,
a real
yes.
regular guy. Now, Sol Milia has put up a new property there. I've seen photos, but it looks phenomenal.
Well, actually, in Los Cabos, there were three Sol Milias, but now there's only two.
Right.
Dreams took over one of them, managing them. But anyway, the one Sol Milia in San Lucas
right.
is actually just teamed up with the Nikki Beach project out of Miami,
uh-huh.
which is a fabulous hot spot for a lot of people.
Right.
And they're going with me to the Latin Grammys in 2 weeks. We're going to be inside the gift baskets of all the stars, as well as gift baskets for the after party guests, which
That's
are 2,400 of them.
What a nice opportunity.
Yes, they're giving certificates to come in and see the Nikki Beach and the Milia San Lucas. So, yes, they're investing a lot of money into it, and it's a great place to visit.
Now, what's the one that it looks like a castle? It looks like a Moorish castle. Is that the new Milia, or is that one of the other properties?
I believe that might be the Rio Hotel.
It's probably
which
Rio.
Which is also a Spanish thing, yes.
Right. That's the one, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that was just built last year.
I mean, incredible looking. Have you been inside it?
I did. I have, yes.
Is it incredible as inside as it looks from the outside?
All the hotels in Cabo seem to be amazing. I mean, it's like one after the other.
Yeah, I have to get down there. But, it's sometimes it's like going back to your old neighborhood when you were a kid. And, you look around and suddenly it all looks different. And,
yes.
And there's a good side of that. And then there's also the kind of bad side of it when you just used to east in Loreto. There was nothing there but the little Mission Hotel. And then the fellow had a fishing camp. And there was one other hotel there, I think.
The Oasis, probably.
The Oasis,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And we used to sit around and we'd drink and just eat food. And then there were a couple of little local Mexican restaurants, and not very much. And of course, we were sort of famous in the sense that we were flying in there all the time. And it was just after we started flying in there after Aeromexico stopped their
right.
flights in there. And I guess they've started them back up again. But
yeah.
in those days, they had stopped. And we were the only service in there in our Twin Beaches and DC-3s. And we have so many, 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 many great memories. And,
exciting.
Yeah, one day we'll get together and we'll chat about
sure.
all of that.
Sure. Start that business again.
Yeah. Well, I noticed in your publication that there is a Mexican carrier that's flying
Aeropacifico.
Right.
Yes.
And into Loreto. And so that's good. And I think your publication is so terrific. And I just want to, if you take a moment, because we're just about out of time here, and tell our listeners, you have a website, if you give that to them.
Yes, it's BajaMagazine.com.
And is there another publication called Mexico
Traveler? Mexico Traveler. It's on the works. It's a lot of work.
Right.
And I'm slowly putting that together. But we're almost there. We're almost ready to launch. It's just such a big territory that it's not easy.
IT, it's super. We're so happy to talk to you because,
likewise,
of course, there's one of your contributing journalists is also one of our contributing journalists, Karen.
Yes, Karen LePere.
And she's wonderful, and we always enjoy talking to you. And we'd like to have you back one of these fine
Thank
days.
Thank you. I would love it.
And we'll pick a particular subject, and we'll just deal with it.
Wonderful, and congratulations on this great show, and thank you for having me come aboard.
It's a pleasure. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Ms. Rodriguez, and we're going to go to break. And I'm not going to tell you who we're going to be with when I come back, but we'll be with somebody. Hold on.
Now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fare starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Well, we're back, and music kind of ended a little ahead of us here today. But we're with Karen Hamelin, and Karen has written a very interesting article on Jordan. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful.
A little chilly here for Florida, is it not?
Yes, very.
A little. It went down to 53 last night, and here we are. I'm looking at the atomic clock, and, well, it's up to 68, so that's not so bad. Very interesting article that you've written on Jordan. And why don't you start out with how you got into this trip in the first place?
I got into this trip. It was a while back, and I was invited first to Israel, and then I guess from that list they got me and then called me and asked me to come to Jordan.
And this was kind of a career change when you got into this. I know we're dating the article a little bit, but you did write this some time back, and so you suddenly just decided, hey, I'm tired of what I'm doing. I'm going to become a travel writer. Now, you've been doing that for some time, but this was, what, your second trip, and here you are off to Jordan, of all places.
I know. I guess I kind of got lucky.
But a long trip. I mean, I've taken that Royal Jordanian flight, and it is a very long trip. And as you say, when you get on that airplane, there suddenly is a big change in your surroundings, first of all, brought on by the passengers.
Yeah. I mean, the crew members all look very Western, but sitting next to me on the plane, the women are all dressed in their burkas, and that was the first time I'd ever seen that. Like I said, it was only my second press trip.
At that point, yeah.
Yeah, and they were in burkas, and then every now and then, the men would stand up and roll their mats out in the aisles and pray.
Yeah.
You know, get on their knees and pray.
Yeah, that's a little unusual if you haven't been exposed to that. I've seen that happen at Disneyland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody always puts out their mats and just, you know, does
their
thing. And do it very naturally, as if, you know.
It's an everyday thing for them. They pray,
exactly.
Like, 3 to 5 times a day, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So that was very natural for them, but for me it was like, oh.
But Jordan is an extraordinary place, isn't it?
Yes. It's a very mystical place once you get outside the city. And there aren't that many big cities. I mean, Amman is probably the city.
Right. Otherwise, it's the beach resorts and the others in the desert.
Yeah, the desert and maybe the little villages.
Right.
And it's very, you really feel like you went back in time.
And yet the people are very, you know, lovely and friendly.
Oh, very friendly. They were very cordial, very nice.
Very hospitable.
Yeah. There was no hostility or anything that I found, except when the guards got on the van when we crossed the border into Israel in Agadir.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of security in those areas.
Yeah. So, but that was kind of funny, actually.
And you went to, well, you know, I don't want to get ahead of your story. Why don't you walk us through a little bit? You went to Amman, and then from Amman, where did you go off to, Jerash?
Yes, then we went to Jerash, and Jerash had all these ruins, and it was just magnificent. I mean, there's ruins everywhere, just like in Israel.
Well, all this Roman history and all of that's all around those areas is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and again, that's like just a natural part of their scenery. I mean, there's no ticket to get in.
Right.
you know, it's not like a Disney World where
they
jazz it up. No tour guides, really, that show you around.
Right.
You just kind of land there. You're going to see Jerash, and you just, there you are, and there's
all of a sudden, as you say, you realize that you're walking in the tracks left by chariot wheels from 129 B.C.
Yeah.
Now, I got that feeling as well. I mean, I could just, of course, it's the movies that have taken us through it, but when you walk down, and I got that same feeling that, here is all this great history, and I'm walking in the tracks of Roman armies and chariot wheels.
Left those grooves. I mean, it's surreal. It's difficult to even comprehend because it's so long ago.
Yeah, except if you're riding in one of those vehicles.
Yeah. Right. And it was, we went on and we saw Hadrian, am I saying his name right? The Ark that he built.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
The arch.
Uh-huh.
If you read about the history ahead of time, it's even more profound when you get there.
Because then you can really enjoy the history if you know it. Unless you're fortunate enough to have somebody with you, like a guide or a local that's very knowledgeable that can explain some of this. And
yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, okay, so you're on your own. Were you with a group of what, travel journalists?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then you went over to the Dead Sea, did you?
Well, we went to Umqua first, and that was one of the 10 cities of the Decapolis era.
Right.
The Greco-Roman era. And that was such a big cultural center. There were a lot of ruins there, like three theaters. And the amphitheater was just like it was left. You could see the granite seats, and you could see the imprints, where
people have been sitting over
there. Yeah, yeah. And the worn-out steps, because the people had been walking up and down them so long. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
So tell me about the Dead Sea.
Oh, have you been to the Dead Sea?
Yes, I have. And like you.
You've been in it.
I had to. You had to do it. I mean, this little round body just floated around like it was nothing.
It's like I had to try it. The others just stood on the shore, and I said, "You got to try this. You know, this is like you'll never do it again." Well, first I went and slathered some mud on, because right next to it is mud.
Yeah, mud things. Yeah.
Yeah, the therapeutic mud. And in Jordan, on the Jordan side of the Dead Sea, there's no. It's not resort like. It's not built up like the Israeli side.
Right.
And so on the Jordan side, it was just like me and maybe two other people on the beach.
Right.
And there's just a few lawn chairs, and a changing place. And the mud baths are just some mud sitting there.
And one hotel with a restaurant.
Yeah. And it's not a grand hotel or anything. And so I went over and slathered some mud on. Again, no charge, no nothing. Waited for it to dry, and it feels terrible, but.
But did you feel rejuvenated after you got it off? Or?
It's thick and it's dry and it crackles and.
Well, it's pretty old mud,
Yeah, and it was interesting to watch what happened on your arm or something. And then when it really dried, then I went into the Dead Sea. So no, that wasn't refreshing at that point.
Right.
And the Dead Sea. How do you describe it? It's real thick water.
Well, it you know, the salinity obviously is very high.
And, oh yeah.
It's unlike, you certainly wouldn't scuba dive in there, that's for sure. You'd end up popping back up.
Yeah, you just can't help but float. And
yeah, it's terrific.
And what's weird is if you walk on the bottom, it feels like you're walking on these little piles of stalagmites.
Right.
Because the salt is in, like, little...
Encrusted on the bottom.
Encrusted and pointy.
Yeah.
So that was strange. And then, of course, I got out finally and rinsed off, and then I felt invigorated, rejuvenated.
Right. Now, you stopped at some other places along the way, but the one place that you went that was so special, certainly to me, I just found it totally amazing, was Petra.
I think that's almost like the highlight of anybody's life.
Now, I didn't ride on the cart that you did through those blocks and get bounced all over. I actually walked, and it's about 6 miles. And when you walk in that long corridor, it's mostly downhill. Coming back was a little different.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it, when you walk through that corridor, as you know, you could see all of these structures that before you even get to the treasury,
mm-hmm.
all of these water canals that they had built in those days, and it was incredible. So, but you took a ride with the horse and the cart, did you?
Yeah, and the cart was just this two-seater rickety thing.
Yeah, I know exactly.
and it was a little scary because I thought I was going to fall out a couple of times.
Right, and that's at that point where you wonder whether you should be walking.
Yeah, yeah. But I got there ahead of everybody.
Yeah, that's for sure, yeah.
So I got my camel first.
Right.
They weren't all taken. And to describe how you come out of the sick when it's S-I-Q, before you see the treasury is, the walls of the stone walls are so high.
Right.
I think they're like 300 feet high, and you're this little thing walking through this crack in the earth.
Yeah, it's really quite phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very narrow, and then this treasury, just you turn a corner and bam, it's there, and it's all the sun's on it, and it just really takes you back.
And it also brings to light the Indiana Jones thing, because they use that as a backdrop for one of the movies,
right.
as you point out.
Yeah, yeah.
But the treasury, I thought was most impressive. But when you continued on and you could see these sculptured fronts of what were homes at one point in the side, you know, the sandstone,
mm-hmm.
it was incredible, was it not?
Yeah, it was like a whole city.
Yeah, exactly.
There, you know, there were temples and there were theaters and there were baths and. All sorts of things that
right.
were beautifully carved.
It was a very civilized place at that time, certainly.
And they were very smart because the treasury is where it was just a facade so that if their enemies were coming through the sick, I hope I'm saying that right.
that's fine. Sounds good to me.
Okay. If they're coming through there to invade... they wanted to get the money and stuff out of the treasury, and they would walk right into this cavernous room and then get ambushed because there's nothing in it.
Right, exactly. I was amazed when I went inside there. You thought you were going to see this beautiful marble or something, and
it was not
the case.
It's just vacant, and it was like, what a brilliant plan.
I thought that your article was terrific, Karen, and I think that... our audience that's listening certainly appreciate you sharing that experience with us. We've got to run, but
mm-hmm.
anyone that wants to would like to read this in depth, if you're at your computer, you can just click on the grassroots button or the icon or whatever one wants to call it, and her article is there. And with some fabulous photos as well, a couple of them that I even took. So go to it, and you can read Karen's article in depth. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, and I hope we're talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was That was Karen Hamlin, and a great article. I strongly suggest you you have a look at. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Johnny Jett will be with us. Well, we're back, and we're joined by our friend Mr. Johnny Jett, as promised. And good morning, Johnny.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's
even after a long trip that you've just had, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, I usually don't get jet lagged.
Right.
This trip, I'm starting to feel it. It's starting to get worse every day.
We've told our audience that you've been to Japan on this particular trip.
I did. I went. Have you ever read the book Memoirs of a Geisha?
Yes.
Well, I did a trip on that because they're coming out with a movie next month.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Or in December.
Great, great, great book. And so, did you travel with some geishas just to get a feeling for the book?
Yeah. But no, actually, the last night we were. We dined with them, and they did a show and stuff like that.
Well, we've had a little bad weather while you're gone. In fact, we're having a few technical difficulties with the equipment today, and we've been kind of on and off again, and a little dead air. But tell us, first of all, you flew out of LA, I assume.
I did. I flew out of LAX on JAL, Japan Airlines.
And how'd you like it?
Oh, it was easy. 11 hours, 15 minutes, and I was in business class or executive class.
Right.
And you know what's so cool? Like when you take off on the screen, they have a camera in the front of the plane.
Right.
Which I guess some airlines have that. This is the first time I've ever seen it.
Where did they have the screen?
You know, right? You know, they had the projector screen.
Oh, up on, yeah.
But they're showing takeoff.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, and landings. That's terrific.
They but also on their in-flight entertainment system,
right.
They have a camera that you can at any time during the flight you can go to that camera in front or one below.
So a mini cam, like.
Yes, you can see what's going on below you without opening the window shade.
Well,
or in front of you.
In other words, you can look at the clouds down below, or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right after takeoff, you know, we were going over Santa Barbara and stuff like that, and
Right. So that's great. So you can because you get you don't get the right perspective when you look to the left side and everything's on the right side of the airplane. You miss it all, don't you?
Yeah.
So that's really quite clever. And it was clear.
Oh yeah, very clear.
And
I took some video of it.
Well, yeah, that's great. Now, so you flew from LA, and where did you fly into Tokyo?
I flew to Tokyo. Actually, I needed to go to Kyoto, so they were going to fly me to Osaka.
Right.
But I said I want to go to Tokyo because they have new seats on their plane. I wanted to try out their new entertainment systems and the new flatbeds.
Right. Now, first of all, my experience on Japan Airlines has always been terrific. The service is great. Everybody's courteous. They take you, from the moment you get on that airplane, you're out of this country. I mean, you're in another world, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree with that.
And did you get to try out those new seats? Because a couple of the other airlines have come out with them as well, I believe.
Oh, I did. No, they're great. I mean, I have a hard time sleeping on planes, even if it's a completely flat bed, and this was not completely flat.
Yeah, plus you're tall.
Yeah, I just have a hard time sleeping, but it was very comfortable, and I watched movies, and they have on-demand movies so you can stop and rewind and stuff like that. So there's plenty of things to do, and they also have electric outlets to plug in your laptop.
Yeah, you must have made good use of that.
You know, I usually do, but there was so much to do otherwise, and I got really, really into this book, Memoirs of a Geisha, so I just sat there and read.
And the food. Now, so you land in Tokyo, and then take us a little bit on a mental journey, if you will.
Well, so when we landed, I had to go through customs, and that line took about 15 minutes, and then I was transferring to Osaka, and I was surprised that they fly 747s between Tokyo and Osaka, and that's a 55-minute flight, and it was and I was in coach on this one. I was in the back of the bus. I'm like row 55.
Good Lord, but for a short flight like that, it was a 747.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe it was a 747. And they do it, I understand JAL has the most 747s out of any other airline.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure for sure. I need to look that up, but that's what I heard.
Well, I mean, most of their stuff was long haul, so that would make sense, you know.
Yeah.
And they got into them in the beginning and stayed with them, I think, mainly because did they still have the first class in the upper level? Or is it just business and
no,
coach?
It's business on the upper deck.
Oh, it's business on the upper deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first class is in the front. And the first class bathroom, I didn't realize. I thought I used the first class bathroom, and it was really nice. It was one of the nicest bathrooms, airplane bathrooms I've been into. I had, you know, marble counters and a huge mirror and really nice lighting. And I was like, wow. Then I found out it wasn't our bathroom. It was the first class bathroom.
Well, people are people, you know. So you went. Where did you actually end up on this trip?
Well, I went all around.
Right.
I ended up in Osaka that first night, spent the night at the Osaka Airport Hotel,
right,
which you can walk to from the airport.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning, walked back to the terminal and jumped on a regional jet and flew to Tajima, which is TAJIMA. And that was like a 40-minute flight. So we flew there and then drove to a town called Kami Town, K-A-M-I.
Right.
And that was supposed to be the town that was in the book, the fishing village that was in the book, Memoirs of a Geisha.
Right.
Although the book was fictional, this is what the town would look like.
Right.
So we got to visualize what it was really like. And, you know, we went to some incredible restaurants around there, and they're the ones that, you know, came up with, like, Kobe beef. Tajima beef was regarded as the best, I guess, before Kobe beef.
Now, did you find things expensive?
You know, some things were and some things weren't. Like, if you're going to take a taxi, taxis are usually pretty expensive, especially on long hauls, like from the airport. If you're going to go from Tokyo, from Narita to downtown, it's like $200 by taxi.
Good Lord.
Or you could take a bus for $30.
Well, that's not cheap either. How far is that?
Well, it's a 90-minute drive.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's understandable then.
Yeah. So no, there are things that are definitely reasonable.
Because
it's not like I had the big misconception that, you know, a bowl of cereal is $100. It's not like that at all.
Right. Well, because you hear all these stories of people go to Tokyo and they said everything was so pricey, but you know, I haven't been there in a while, so I can't really compare it to anything.
No, it wasn't bad at all. And then I went to one of my favorite towns. Now it's called Kinosaki, Kinosaki.
Like the rice wine.
Yeah, and it's this really cool spa town. There's all these natural hot springs there, and everyone walks around in their robe, and there's no Americans. I didn't see any Westerners there.
That sounds really cool.
And that's what I really like. You know, I mean, I love Americans, but not when I travel internationally. I try to, you know, get an authentic feel for.
Or just the tourists in general.
Yeah, just Westerners.
Right. I mean, if you can go to a place that still has, you know, the local feeling and with locals rather than just full of a bunch of tourists staring at locals, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. All right. So where else did you go?
Kyoto.
Okay. So what you tried to do is just follow the whole theme of this book, or was that it, or just hit some of the cities that even fictional or not.
Some of it was just, you know, to see Japan, and some of it was with the book.
Right. And how long were you there, Johnny?
Eight nights.
And a long flight. Well, not as long as it used to be, but still a long flight nonetheless.
Coming home was only 9 hours.
Yeah, it's not much longer than flying back from the UK, is it?
No, but, and, you know, in Tokyo, they have really bad hay fever going on right now.
Really?
And, you know, I was walking with one of my Japanese friends I went to college with, and I'm like, you don't happen to have a Kleenex, do you? And he's like, just grab one on the street. I go, what are you talking about? Everyone, you know how they hand out flyers in New York City to everyone walking by?
Right.
Well, they do that in Tokyo, but inside the flyer is a little pack of Kleenexes or tissues.
How amazing. Because of the hay fever.
I guess so. I think it's year-round they do it, but... And I wasn't the only one who was just sneezing, and, you know, I wanted to get out of Tokyo because everywhere in Japan I was fine except in Tokyo. And then I have asthma and stuff, and then,
right.
I was ready to get out of there.
Now, why do you think that is? Do you think it's just air pollution because of the cars, or Tokyo is not a dusty place like some of the outward cities would be. And you see pictures of people walking around with those masks over their faces, you know?
Yeah, they usually wear the mask when they're sick. They're really polite in that sense.
Right.
So if they're sick, they put a mask on so they won't get anyone
else. So they're not spreading.
So it's not like they're really afraid of other people's germs.
Right.
And on the plane, they give you those masks, too. They're like moisturizers. So I was wearing one on the plane part of the way. Anyway, I went down to the pharmacist to find out what was going on. They're like, it's hay fever. I could barely understand a word they were saying, but I got hay fever out of them. And like a dummy, I forgot to bring Sudafed.
Right.
They had Contact there and stuff like that, but you can't read it. And I have asthma, so I have to be careful about what I take.
Right.
So who's ever going overseas, make sure you bring all your... everything that you could possibly need.
Yeah, take your meds. That's always good advice, Johnny. I mean, because you don't know. In some places I find in Mexico, you can find most anything you want. And they even have some products like what they call antifludis, which is better than some of the stuff we have here. But, you don't know that. And so bringing your meds along is good advice. How about some pointers?
Your ATM card.
Yeah.
The first time I've ever had a hard time using my ATM card.
Really?
In the small remote town, they do not work. And I just read now, researching about Japan after the trip, that our magnetic strip is twice as large as theirs on the card, so it just spits it back.
It doesn't read it.
But it works with Citibank machines, which can be found in, like, the major cities.
Or B of A, maybe?
Bank
of America?
I didn't see any Bank of America.
Right.
But in Tokyo, I had no problem in the airport in Osaka.
Right.
In the other towns, and they all go on cash. Luckily, I had friends there.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have been royally messed up.
Well, that's a little scary because I live off my debit card.
I do too.
I mean, I hardly ever carry.
And whenever I travel, I usually don't bring any U.S. dollars with me. I usually just go right to the ATM machine. I've never had a problem.
And get the local stuff right away.
I learned a valuable lesson this time, and I had just a few dollars. One time, I found like $20 in my bag.
Right.
And had the bank exchange it. It took a half hour.
Good
they
Lord.
They had to make sure it wasn't
counterfeit.
They scanned it. They looked at books. They made me fill out all this paperwork. I'm like, it's $20.
Good Lord.
So I would bring some traveler's checks and some cash.
How about a webcam?
Oh, God, you got me on the webcam. The problem with all these webcams, they're long. You just go to earthcam.com and type in whatever you're looking for. They'll show it all to you.
Yeah, there was something I saw in your newsletter the other day I thought was interesting. The one about, and maybe we've talked about this before and we don't have much time, but the one where you could like book a seat next to somebody that was compatible. I can't remember the name of the site.
Oh, airtraductions.com?
Something like that, yeah.
It's kind of like you put your profile down and then...
Right, you were saying that, this way you can possibly prevent sitting next to somebody that you don't want to talk to.
Yeah, it's called airtraductions.com.
Right.
It's a new service. They only have about 2,000 users, so it's going to be hard to find a match because you put in your profile, your picture... And then you put in your flight itinerary, and then they check to see if anyone else has the same itinerary. And if they did, they would send you that person's profile. And if you're interested in meeting that person, then it's going to cost you $5. But the chances of them finding one on the same flight as you, not everyone travels every day, and it's going to be tough. They're going to need hundreds of thousands of users or millions to find a match.
Well, Johnny, I thank you. Great trip. We'll look forward to seeing it. I guess
Kyoto next time.
I'm sorry?
We'll talk about Kyoto next time.
That'll be great, and we'll just get into it more in depth. And I just wanted to tell you before we go that I really enjoyed your article on the trip up to Niagara. I think that you covered it, every single aspect of what was done up there, and very nicely, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, good. Did you see a nice picture of you in there?
Yeah, I did. I'm a little red-faced. It must be the wine.
The lighting.
Yeah, Johnny, thank you for all that, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right.
Take care. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As our friend Johnny Jett, and as usual, it's always a pleasure. Johnny does a lot of traveling, and sometimes we just get a little bit off track and don't get in depth in some of the things that he's done. But we'll have him back. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, and we'll get into into it a little bit more in depth. Anyway, this is about it for today, and. Let's see who we've got for next week. If you just bear with me here for a second. Our guest next week will be Bob Fisher with the Destination Canada Report. Carol Matthews with the Secret Gardens in London. Carol has some really great stuff in the Secret Gardens in London. And Bob's report is going to be a very interesting one. So tune in to us next Wednesday at 11 a.m. This is Roy Lowy saying bye till next week. And Talking Travel is brought to you by the Travel Talk Radio Network, broadcast live from Florida Sun Coast and 24/7 online at TTRN.com.